The season of Lent is always a special time of preparation for us Catholics. It's 40 days in which we, if you will, spend some time thinking about Jesus' love for us, what he's done for us by his death on the cross, and how the fathers responded to that by raising the Son from the dead and bringing us into this wonderful gift of new life, this new hope and this new joy, that we are now new creations with the Lord. What a wonderful gift that is, and oftentimes we don't think much about it, and so the Church recognizes our humanity, and every year we need to take some time, 40 days to be exact, to look at our life. The number 40 always plays a big role in the Bible. It always, if you will, is the, if you will, the jumping off point of something great. Whether it was the 40 days and 40 nights that it rained in the new creation coming out of that with Noah, or the 40 years wandering in the wilderness only to go into the beauty of the promised land, or in the season of Lent, the 40 days that Jesus was tempted, and in that temptation, he conquers evil, beating the devil on his own ground, that of free will. 40 always is the jumping off point for something great. So when we think about this Lenten season, I'm sure you're hearing the gospel reading, the whole, if you will, approach to Lent, the what's called the three pillars of Lent. And these three pillars of Lent revolve around prayer and almsgiving and fasting. Now, what do those things mean? Well, prayer, of course, means prayer. Almsgiving means we give of ourselves to the poor, and fasting means we deny ourselves certain pleasures for a greater good. But is there something more to it than that? And I would like to suggest to you that there is, because each of those three, if you will, pillars of prayer and fasting and almsgiving deal with something that's very, very core to being human. See, as human beings, we are relational beings. None of us gives birth to ourselves. We are dependent upon others, and we are interdependent among ourselves. We can't do it all. And so relations define us, just as when we think of the mystery of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's relations that, if you will, express for us the divine community of persons and the great love that's there. And so we reflect that being made in God's image and likeness. And so I would recommend that in this time of Lent, we do something a little bit more than just kind of give something up. You know, every year, oh, I'll give up chocolate, or I'll give up potato chips, or I'll give up Doritos. And while, okay, that's good, the question is, what spiritual good comes from it? Well, I'll lose some weight. Well, okay, that's not a bad thing. We all could probably drop a pound or two, but how does that help us spiritually? And I guess that's a question. We have to look at our soul. At the time of Lent is, if you will, a time for our formation of our soul. And of course, nothing, you know, affects our soul more than our relationships. Nothing at all. And so when we think about prayer, prayer deals primarily with our relationship to God. How is my relationship to God? Am I grateful to the Lord? Do I express my thanks to God every day for the simple gifts that he gives me? The gift of a family, the gift of health, the gift of my good friends, the gift of a job. Do I express thanks to the Lord? Or do I kind of think it's all about my working? Or do I get so kind of caught up that I have every time to do everything except pray? Something to think about. Because oftentimes, and I know this from not only personal experience, from listening to many people, oftentimes when people start seeing parts of their life going south, and I don't mean going to Florida, I mean really just getting messed up and confused and doubts and anxieties, I always ask this question, have you been praying? And almost to a person, they said, no, I gave that up because I was too busy. Ah, there you go. You're never too busy to pray. Because that prayer, of course, does what? It brings us into the relationship with the one who is life itself, the one who gave us our life, the one who wants to sustain our life and make us whole and make us holy and give us joy. This is what God wants to do. And the purpose of a prayer life, as I said in other talks I've given, is to let God begin to reassemble our life that we have had pulled apart because of all the different things that we carry on in the world. So, prayer, my relationship with God. Am I grateful? The other part, do I take time to ask Him for help, or do I think it's all about me? We have to remember that, again, the good that we do comes from the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It comes from God giving us the courage to do the right thing. And so asking God for help every day is just as important as thanking Him. It's always good to thank God first. I always used to tell people, I said, before you ask somebody for something, you usually have to kind of stroke them a little bit. Now, we don't do that to the Lord. We're not, you know, blowing smoke at the Lord. But it's always good to recognize the gifts before we ask Him for something else. Otherwise, we can look a little bit selfish and a little bit entitled. And we're entitled to nothing, but God gives us everything. So that's the first relationship, my relationship with God. Now, almsgiving. Almsgiving, of course, is helping out the poor, helping out the needy. And there's all different types of poor and needy. And you know, we talk of the spiritual works and the corporal works of mercy, especially the corporal works this time of year, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, sheltering the homeless, visiting the sick and the imprisoned. And all those are very, very important things, not just to do during Lent, but to try to do every day or every week of our life. We are interdependent people. And so that's one part of almsgiving. But the real thing beyond that, and that, of course, is important. You know, Christians have a primary obligation to help the poor and help the needy and help those who are going through terrible trials, whether they be physical trials or mental trials or spiritual obstacles, whatever it is, we have a duty to offer our support. Because as I've said many times, the only way that we go to heaven is to do it together. We have to help each other out. So I would suggest that with this second aspect of almsgiving, what we have to do is deal with the relationships with other people. What's my relationship with my wife and my family? Am I spending time with them? Am I listening to them? Or am I off doing things? Or maybe I'm working so hard I don't have the time to focus on them. Maybe I've been overly demanding on their part and not giving on my part. That's something to look at. Especially in the relationship with spouses and with friends. Do we find ourselves using our friends more than helping them? Do we find ourselves wanting to take more than to give? All those relationships are always going on, and we do need to examine them this time. What is my relationship with my friends? What is the relationship with my coworkers? What is the relationship I have with my family? How do I treat strangers? All those relationships need to be examined. And we begin to ask ourselves, have I been selfish? Or have I been neglectful? Have I ignored people? Have I been purposely unkind to people simply because they don't, I don't like them, or they may not like me? God said, love everyone. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And so that becomes, if you will, the bar which we need to shoot for every single day. And so, again, almsgiving is not just about acts of charity and kindness, but it's really examining our relationships with others. Very, very important thing to do. Because in a world today in which we live, most relationships are on what do you give to me? Oftentimes, the culture tends to build relationships on using others, on drawing from others, and not so much on giving. It's a terrible tragedy, but we see how the world is operating, and oftentimes this is how it comes about. Now, the third relationship, of course, the third pillar, is that of fasting. And I'm sure for most people, this is of all the least pleasant. Oh, geez. I'll give up chocolate, or I'll give up my beers, or I'll give up something like that. That's really not what fasting is all about. And it is a part of it, of course. But there's much, much more to it than that. Fasting has to do with my relationship with me. Am I taking proper care of myself? Am I every day taking time to be quiet and to listen, not just to my family and friends, but to God, which is again the first pillar? Am I listening to myself? Am I reflecting on my behavior and on my attitudes and what I'm doing and saying, is this really helping me get to heaven? Is this helping me become a better person? Is it making me more generous? Is it making me more caring? Is it making me more compassionate to others? And if the answer to any of those is no, then we'd better take a good look at it and come up with a plan to help overcome it. Again, not by ourselves, but with God's help. Oftentimes, this is the hardest pillar, not because we give things up, but because we have to look honestly at our heart and say, where have I been off base? At the same time, we say, where have I been doing it right? Because we have to go back always and look at those things, because again, we take them for granted. As human beings, we are such creatures of habit. It doesn't take much for us to start doing things mindlessly and by rote, and then we wonder why we get into the situations that we get into. But again, I'd say one of the most important things of fasting is not just so much giving up something, but it's talking about making a real substantial change in your life. Maybe spending every day during the time of Lent with maybe 5 minutes in the morning and 5 minutes in the evening and maybe 5 minutes around the middle of the day, and just listen to the Lord and thank Him for His gifts. Just listen. We spend so much time talking and so little time listening. We don't really reflect. And to reflect, again, is what? Examine our actions, examine our motives, examine our goals. Is this really the goal I want to achieve? Is this goal going to make me happy? Is it going to give me joy? And oftentimes we don't think about the big goal because we're so enmeshed in the little goals, we get lost in all the details. So our relationship with ourselves is just as important as the other two. We have to know who we are so then we can deal properly with others. And then once we know who we are as a child of the Lord, dependent on God, then we can go before the Lord with prayer and thanksgiving and petition. So these all really do work together. But what I would really encourage you to do during this time of Lent this year, more than give something up, I mean, it's a good practice to have more discipline and self-control, definitely a good thing. It's also very important to be kind and generous to the poor, especially as we go through these hard times economically, to give to things like the free store, to give to St. Vincent de Paul, that we can help the poor. And not just give financially, but maybe give some of our time. Even giving our own time to others, if a friend needs a willing ear or a shoulder to lean on, all those things are important. But at the end of 40 days, I want you to look back on Easter Sunday and say, you know, I'm a better person now than I was 40 days ago. My relationship with God is closer. My relationship with my family and my friends is stronger, and I know myself much better, so that when temptations come and life goes on as normal, I have more tools in my toolbox to be able to deal with the obstacles and the crises and the events of everyday life. If you do that, then your 40 days won't have been wasted. They would have been very, very productive time. And that productive time will show not just in how we live, but more importantly, in how we love. Because that's the ultimate judgment we're going to be faced on. How do we love one another? And after 40 days, instead of going back and eating our chocolate or eating our Doritos or drinking our beers, instead saying, today I'm able to love better. I know myself better. And now I can draw closer to God and help other people come closer to Him as well. On that day, that great day of Easter, when we then renew our baptismal promises, we are really starting fresh and starting new. The 40 days open to the promised land, the 40 days open to the bright sun after the rains have gone. The 40 days conclude at the end of the third day, when the Lord is raised from the dead and gives you the gift of everlasting life.